Please turn with me, if you will, this morning as we continue through the Gospel of Mark to Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. R.C. Sproul loved to be able to surprise his students. He would ask questions out of context to see how they would handle the answers. Most of his questions were real simple. Like his favorite one to ask his seminary students was, which is the greatest commandment? And they would begin by literally reading a litany of different commandments, but eventually someone would come around to the words of Jesus that we see in our text. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandments greater than these. Sometimes it took the whole hour to get to that answer, interestingly enough, because of all the answers that they would come. But then if he still had time, he would ask the next question. If these are the greatest commandments, then what would you say is the worst sin that one could do? And of course, they would list things like murder or adultery or genocide or abuse of children. And R.C. would say, yes, those are all bad, but that's not the worst. If those two are the greatest, the worst sin is not doing them. And he would go on about how important it was to follow the law of God as Christians. It's amazing how everything else falls into place, as we were talking in Sunday school, as Troy opened up our service, when we follow the law of God. The trouble is that we break those two commandments, those two greatest commandments, every day, even when we're sincerely searching for the right answers, just like this scribe this morning. So read with me Mark 12, 28 through 34. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that he answered, that is, Jesus answered them well, he asked Jesus, which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said to him, you are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and there is no other beside him. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, you're not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Pray with me. Father, we've talked a lot about the simplicity of your design. Except for our fallen nature, it would be so. So, Father, I pray that you would guide us today, that we would hear your words through your Spirit in our heart and our minds to strengthen us to bring you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know about you, but there are days that I feel like this scribe. No matter how much knowledge I have, no matter how long I've been in the church, I still wonder sometimes if I know the basic answers to the basic questions because I don't always live like I do. Now, we were told that there'd be days like this, days of confusion, days of doubt. But most of us don't believe it because we're so so much, we're such good Christians. We wonder sometimes if we know enough, or maybe we wonder if we know the right thing, just like this scribe. So today we're going to take the scribe's question seriously. I'm going to discuss that in verse 28. And then we're going to look at Jesus' response because of how crucial it is for all of us to understand. And then the last thing we'll see this morning is the failure of the law in verses 32 through 34. So we begin with what seems to be a sincere question by this scribe in verse 28. And one of the scribes came up to him and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, that is Jesus, which commandment is the most important of all? Now, for weeks we've been looking at how the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, the scribes, the elders had all been seeking to ask Jesus certain questions to undermine Jesus' ministry, to make Jesus look less than he is. How they have worked against him in every way, shape, and form. But here we encounter a scribe, a Jewish theologian, what was called a lawyer back in those days, someone who knew the law and worked the law of God, an expert in biblical interpretation from the Jewish perspective, who had been watching this group. He heard them disputing with one another. And then he said, and then he thought to himself, and seeing that Jesus answered them well, in other words, he could see that his colleagues are acting foolishly, and Jesus is acting wisely in answering them wisely. And that's someone he wants to talk to a little more. Jesus has something he doesn't have. So he asks the question, seemingly sincerely, which commandment is the most important of all? As I said, he's not seeking to undermine. He comes and asks because he saw that Jesus answered them well. They were the foolish ones asking dumb questions like we saw last week. But Jesus' answers were impressive to him. He saw how much wisdom was in his answers. The scribe knows the Ten Commandments backwards and forwards. He can interpret them to the letter of the law. He also knows the 613 laws of Moses. He would have spent his lifetime reassessing and assessing them to help people in his congregation, or help people, to help the Pharisees to be able to know how to help the people not to break the law. They came up with all kinds of ways to seemingly, sincerely help people to keep from violating God's law. But it seems that this scribe wanted a bit more. More than just the standard thought or the standard line that the rabbis are giving. He wanted more than the foolishness of his colleagues. As I said, he was impressed with Jesus' knowledge and his answers. And this led him to seek Jesus and his wisdom beyond the status quo. To him, it seems there must be more than what's been taught. We must follow the law. He seems to be one of those that saw that, well, it's not easy to follow the law. So we spend our time, I think it was 660 more rules, to find ways to keep us from breaking the 613. Because sincerely, some of them were trying to help the people not break God's law. Because what happens if you break God's law? You can't get into the kingdom. It's all about working your way into the kingdom for the Jewish thinking. The law was clear. Do this and live. Do this, don't do this, and die. That's where he was working from. But he knew there had to be more. Sorry. And so he comes to Jesus and asks this question. Sorry. Jesus knows he's a man of law, so he's going to answer him from the law. Verse 29. Jesus answered, "The most important is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Now, of course, the first part of this, it comes, smacks this lawyer square in the face, because Jesus goes right back to Deuteronomy 6. He goes right back to the law, to the great Shema, that statement that was made every week on the Sabbath. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. So he was speaking to this lawyer in a way that this lawyer, this theologian, this scribe would understand. Now, but what came just before Deuteronomy 6? It's not a trick question. The Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy 5. And so he knows he's speaking to the lawyer. But he also knows that the lawyer is missing something. So he says, this is the most important. This is what sums up the whole law. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the summation of the law in Deuteronomy 6. Jesus directs this scribe to that foundational obligation that God imposed upon his people. Not as some impersonal force, but as a personal God. After all, he was the one that created them. He was the one that delivered them out of Israel. He is the one that has brought them into the promised land. He has been with them all along, personally. This is the God. This is how you glorify me. You love me. And then he went on to say, the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than this. What's the key to these two commandments? Love. Love. Thou shalt love the Lord your God. It's the heartbeat of all the commandments. Something that this scribe had missed. Jesus will explain these commandments in the Gospel of John, where we read, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And then he says a little later on in John, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. So if we truly love God, we will keep all the commandments by keeping these two. We had a hard time keeping one in the garden, remember? These two is what God's focusing on. Jesus is seeking to keep it simple for the scribe so that he can see what he's missing. Now, I don't know, again, about you, but when I read these texts, it's the kind of text that I can't stop seeing wherever I am in Scripture. It's as if no matter where I am on a daily basis in Scripture, the question comes to me, have you loved me? The same question that Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Have you loved me the way I command you to love me? With all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And I say, no. I have to be honest. My mind is so easily distracted. If you were here in Sunday school, you saw how distracted I was with Theodora. But my mind is so easily distracted about my own pleasures, my own desires, my own afflictions. So easily distracted, so easily to think of myself first. And the same problem with the church was the same problem with the scribes. The scribe. We know we don't keep these two commandments, let alone the 10 or the 613. But here's the problem. We're still at ease in Zion. We're still at ease in Zion. Because nobody can keep it, so it must be okay. And we just go on about our day. It doesn't cause us pause. It doesn't cause us to stop and hear that voice. Do you love me? Do you love me? If these are the greatest commandments, as Matthew records Jesus saying, then the greatest sin is our failure to keep them. If I were to perish right now, God's judgment would be just. Because I haven't kept them. Thankfully, Jesus, our second commandment, our second Adam, did. He loved the Lord his God with all his heart, with all his strength, with all his mind, and with all his heart. He loved him completely. If he hadn't, he couldn't save us. He couldn't fulfill the law. Jesus went to the cross with that kind of love for his Father and then for us. Fulfilling his Father's call to die. The only person that can answer the question, do you love me, all the time, is Jesus. The rest of us need to understand the need for our repentance. If you can't think of anything that you've done wrong today, you've done that. And that's a big one. Because he just told us that these are the greatest commandments. The whole law is summed up in these two. So if you're struggling for something to repent of, there you go. I try to give you at least something every other week or so that you can repent of, since repentance is so crucial in our life. But in this case, he's talking about wholehearted devotion. Anything less than my affections and my emotions will not be in tune with his will. And I will not serve him as he expects and as he requires. I don't know that God could be any clearer. I mean, the Ten Commandments are pretty clear. But Jesus, who is God himself, says these two sum it all up. You shall love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Pretty simple stuff. And yet, extremely hard to do. That love for God requires that we love anything and everything that reflects him, which starts with our neighbor as image bearers, which begins with our family, works itself out to our church family, to other Christians outside of here, and then to everyone else. That word for neighbor is such a huge word. But it has a beginning and it has an end. So Jesus points this theologian to something he'd forgot. Total devotion. Not mere observation, of a few external rules. And he almost gets it. So lastly, we see the insight, but the failure of the law, what keeps him from getting it all the way? Verse 32 through 34. And the scribe said to him, I can almost see this guy bouncing up and down with excitement. You're right, teacher. You have truly said that he is the one, and there is no one beside him. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. He's so excited. He found someone that agrees with him. And when Jesus saw that he answered him wisely, he said to him, you're not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. This guy was, you could just, like I said, you could hear it. Hear, you're right. These guys don't know what they're talking about, but you got it. Hear, this is great stuff. It's been a great exchange. It's like Jordan talking theology online. There are times when it just goes on forever, but it's a great exchange. Or it is Dojo talking to people. This is great. Bottom line, does it make a difference? The scribe was excited about the conversation. He was excited about Jesus' answers. But did it make a difference? So right, teacher. He gets it. Almost. Interesting, don't you think? Jesus' statement that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your soul is a very personal statement. He uses the word you all the way through that to get to the heart of the matter. But the scribe's statement is very impersonal. To love him with all the heart, not my heart, but the heart, with all the understanding, with all the strength, and to love one's y'all's neighbor as yourself. Very impersonal. It shows us he doesn't get the personal relationship with God. He's loved the exchange about the law more than the life-changing reality of what Jesus was saying. He recognized heartfelt obedience to the Lord was more important than ritual, because ritual can be faked, but it's still, my salvation's based on the ritual. He still doesn't seem to recognize how the law only condemns completely. He would say, if one's heart is right and our actions are right, then we must be right. Right? And Jesus, he looks at him with that face and he saw that he answered wisely, and he probably felt like, oh, this guy's even encouraging me that I am right. But then Jesus adds these words. You are not far from the kingdom of God. Now, you may think that those are positive words. And I hope that the man came to know the Lord at some point and heard them as positive words. But think about that. You're not far. Not far tells this leader, of this teacher of the law, that he's not in. That he's not part of the kingdom of God that he is convinced that he is a part of. And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Because if I can't make it through the law, which he's built his whole life on, then I'm lost. They heard Jesus' message clearly. The law can't do it. But that's all I got. That's all I got. Jesus had shut them up because they realized they didn't have what he had. And at that point in time, they didn't want what he had. It's a sad ending to an almost victorious story, because as Jesus said, he was so near. The problem is, he's not in. His story ends sadly. But in Christ, we receive not only the understanding of God's will, we receive the ability to keep his law, which is the power to love him with all that we are, so that we can in turn love our neighbor as ourselves, thus proving our love for him. That circular motion, if you will. That's why these are the greatest commandments. Pray with me. Almighty God, again, thank you for your word. A word that convicts as much as it encourages. For as your people, we do not love you wholeheartedly as we are commanded to do. But the desire of our heart is to do that. So, Father, help us to look unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, that we might just do that. Love you with all that we are. Won't be perfect in this life, but that's what we strive for. We don't give up. We strive to love you in this way. In Jesus' name, amen.